Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And I got to get my voice ready to go here. With me, my guest today, Joe Dressel. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me at WJBM this morning.
Yes. And Joe is a wine guy, right? He's a big wine guy. And your company is Davis Wines.
Yes, we are Davis Vines. And you can see us at davisvines.com. We've been developing grapevines to grow in the Midwest for over 20 years.
Yeah. And you live here in Jerseyville.
I do.
Yes. But where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in St. Charles County in a town called Augusta, Missouri.
Okay. And did you grow up in the wine business?
I grew up in Augusta at the Mount Pleasant Winery in Augusta, and I grew up there for 20 years, and grew up with my family, my older brother, and my mother and father, and got to grow up in the wine business and see that from a firsthand basis.
Yeah. So like every day when you were growing up, you'd have to go tend to the wines or to the grapes or
tend
what?
Tend to the grapes, and that's a year-round process. And so in the grape and wine business, we really do agriculture, manufacturing, and sales of our products. So it's a very unique business, and it offers you a big opportunity to be all throughout from vine to bottle.
Yeah. And so it's so really your family, do you know why they went into the wine business? Your father did?
My father was interested, had grown up in Granite City, Missouri, and was always interested in agriculture. His father grew up in Jersey County, went to Jerseyville High School, class of 1920, and he had started a dairy and started it in Old Cane, Illinois, and then moved down. I think someone in the family told him you could get a nickel more for a quart or something of milk, so it really looked economically viable to move to Granite City, and so...
Granite City, Missouri.
Granite City, Illinois.
Oh,
and
Illinois.
So, that's where they've got the dairy started there, my grandfather and grandmother had the dairy there, and my grandmother's sister was married to Big Sam Pershall, who ran the Tri-City Grocery Store.
Yeah,
and so kind of had an in on the milk market. I think.
Okay,
so that was a big help.
And then, but how'd you end up in Augusta?
Ended up in Augusta through my father was very interested in grapes and wine, and had found out through the newspaper, the Post-Dispatch, that there was a winery for sale, and there was a gentleman named Bill Baggerman who lived in Augusta, Missouri, and he had he liked old properties and had. Had his eye on this property and wanted to maintain it. And so my father went out there in 1966 and looked at the winery, and I think in a few months he was able to get a loan and buy the winery there.
Okay. And yeah. Were you a child? Were you born yet?
And then I was born in 1972, and so they had run the winery for 5 years at that point. And my older brother had been born also, like myself, into the wine business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with the wine business, does the soil is that the big deal in growing wine, or the climate, or what's the ABCs of being able to have a successful vineyard?
The site location, the soil, those are all important, and we want to look for the best location that we can. Now, most of our growers are beholden to the property that they own, but we want to find the most suited location on their property. And that's always going to be south or east facing. And you mm-hmm. you normally want to be in a high location so that you don't have any trouble with the spring frost that we can have up until, you know, mid-May in this area. You can get a frost, killing frost to kill your growth. So you definitely want to be up. Normally, I would say you want to be above 600 feet above sea level.
That's
just kind of an average for this area that we're in right here.
And what do you call the study of grapes and wine? What's that called?
The study of grapes and wine is called viticulture, and that's in the name of our company, which is Davis Viticultural Research. And that's so we're studying our grapevines to make a better wine for the eastern United States. That was our goal.
I see. So you and your brother, so what's the story with the winery? Because you're not in Augusta now.
No.
So what happened with Augusta?
So my mother and father sold the winery in Augusta, and my brother and I were then in a position that we still wanted to be in the grape and wine business. So he started a vineyard management company called Evergreen Nursery, which is still in operation over in Missouri. It takes care of over 100 acres of grapes in Missouri. And so we got started with Evergreen Nursery, and we were approached in 1999 by a group of investors from Greene County, Illinois,
yeah,
who wanted to have a state-of-the-art winery in Illinois. And we got together with them, and within 2 years, by 2002, we had the most state-of-the-art winery built in the state of Illinois. It still is today. And you might have seen the wines in stores. They have a courthouse on the label. And so that was a source of pride when we got started with...
Is it the Greene County Courthouse?
There is the Greene County Courthouse is on one of the labels of the four labels that you usually see in the stores. And so the Pike County Courthouse, the Greene County Courthouse, the Jersey County Courthouse, and the Scott County Courthouse.
And this winery is in Greene County?
And this winery is in Greene County. It is the Illinois Cellars.
Illinois. Mm-hmm. Where is it located?
It is located in the south side of Carrollton.
Okay, as you come into town mm-hmm. on the right-hand side.
And they, when they got originally planted, they had about 70 acres. And I think that is down this day, but they're still producing and still making wine.
And what kind of wine do they produce?
They make anywhere from dry to sweet wine. They try to produce a local wine in the past that one of the grapes that we have been able to grow in Illinois and just the central United States is a grape called Norton. And that was a grape that they were able to grow and do really well with it one time.
Was it red or white?
That is a dry red wine.
Yeah.
And that is really an interesting story in itself that grape kind of showed up 200 years ago, almost to the date, in 1826. And it was really the only grape that had the ability to make a dry red wine. The native grapes from Europe, they can grow for a short time, but they have a very hard time flourishing in this country because of a louse that we have in our soil that prohibits the roots from growing. So all the European grapes that are grown in the United States and all over the world today are all grafted. Okay. They all have to be grafted.
And what do you mean by grafted?
They have two plants, and the two plants are actually put together with wax. There are people with just a simple pocket knife can make a few cuts, mm-hmm. and they can put the two plants together, use a little bit of string and yeah. wax, and you've got a brand new plant. And
I'll be darned.
Your roots and the top is called the scion, and they'll grow together. And then you'll actually, I think they do that with almond trees and things.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Joe Dressel with us today. He's a wine guy. He's viticultural.
In the right? viticultural business.
In
been
the grape
and wine business.
And
yes.
been that his whole life and continues today in his
yes,
wine.
Yes, yep. Currently, I'm with my father. We've been developing about four vines that we're going with right now, and I'm able to deliver those. We grow those here in Jersey County, and then we deliver them across the eastern United States, which I'm lucky enough to do, and I'm able to load our growing plants in a van, and then I drive them to the location.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is great, because I get to, when people go on their weekends to have a good time and go to a winery, boy, when I deliver these grapes, I get to go to that
yeah.
place and I get to see that. So it's, I don't get to stay. I always, it's kind of get to drop the stuff off and wish you could come back. But it's being able to see the stuff and see America has been great.
Yeah, so for
great.
Sure.
Yeah.
So whenever they're going to grow your grapes mm-hmm. and you deliver the vines.
Yes.
Do they start off in a greenhouse, or do they go right out in the field?
Well, we'll grow them in a greenhouse for about 4 weeks, and when we deliver them to you, we'll pretty much tell you, water them, and we'll just soak the pot that we've got, and we'll soak it in kind of almost like a baby pool, and then we'll plant the plant. We don't really want to water the leaves. That's not an advantage. So we want to drop our pot in a our dry kind of that dry pot into like I said, a baby pool. And it'll soak up the water from the bottom, and then we're able to plant those vines. And then really they don't need much human intervention. They just need a lot of water and sunshine.
I got a question for you. How many grapes, what quantity of grapes does it take to make a bottle of wine? Or what's the math on that?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess the numbers that I have are very
maybe,
large.
Maybe bushels or?
A ton of grapes we'll make about a ton of wine, and a ton of wine, I mean that it would be, that's wine in bottles. And so you would look at about 60 cases of wine for a ton of grapes.
And a ton of grapes. And, how big a truck handles a ton of grapes?
A ton of grapes, you can fit that in one square bin that's about 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet.
Okay.
So
wow, they're fairly heavy then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
fairly dense.
Yeah, and they're yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we were talking before we started here on the air about you said that wine originated like 8,000 BC. People were making
correct.
Wine.
No, there have there's all sorts of archaeological evidence that points to man being involved in viticulture far back, as can be, I think, so there are some wineries now that 20 years ago, I think they discovered in Armenia that have ancient wine presses, and they found old grape seeds and even old leather shoes in there. And so it's, I think after they made the first temple, after they were done with the first temple, they started on the first wine.
Hey, now, of course, we're celebrating 250 years here for America being born.
Yeah.
And when the people from Europe, when they came over, did they want to start growing wine? Or is it just corn? Or what?
I think that really most Europeans, when they got here, that was something that wanted to remind them of home was to grow grapes and do that. But it also, I think it would have been for the sacrament wine too. So mm-hmm. they just needed to have that. So
were they successful?
Yes. Were able to have small vineyards and grow grapes and able to make wine in small batches. As we know, when you have a large planting of grapes or anything, corn, then it seems like the diseases start in real quick. They'll follow you quick. So if you had a bunch of people with small vineyards and not large vineyards, then you probably don't have any of the grape diseases, the leaf diseases following you around. So when you do some huge monoculture, it almost seems immediately that you end up with, here's some bug or something shows up.
Why is California so famous for wines? Is it their climate, their soil, or what is that?
California has been so famous and been so important to the wine industry just because they don't have any of the hardships that we would have here in the Midwest. They don't have the 2 weeks or the Eastern United States, but they don't have the 2 weeks of the intense heat that we do in the summer, and they don't have the 2 weeks of intense cold that we do in the wintertime.
And that's what's hard on the
And on that's the what's very, very tough on them. In California and the places that I've been, I think that they don't get any rain from April to October. And so the amount of leaf diseases that you're going to have to deal with are minimal. So it is, as people have said, it's almost like Disneyland growing grapes. It's really a perfect. It's perfect. But things like that, when you grow things hydroponically, sometimes they lack character. So,
So how would you compare our wines that are grown like in Illinois compared to the wines that are grown in California? I know we've got the harsher winters and summers, but how about our wine, the end result?
Our wine, we had a wine from Illinois Cellars 20 years ago, and it was, there used to be a newspaper, it was called the Chicago Tribune, and just joking. In the summer, they did an article, and they picked 10 red wines from all over the United States to have with Chinese barbecue in Chicago. And the reporter from the Tribune at the time said, wow, these wines were all very good. And one of the wines was the Illinois Cellars Norton, in with a bunch of Cabernet from California. And they said all the wines were good. But then when they had the wine with the barbecue, then the Illinois Cellars Norton it pulled away from all the other wines. It just was better with food.
Yeah.
And so that was great. So it proved back then that you can have a world-class dry red wine made from the Norton grape from Illinois.
Yeah.
From any state from the East. It could be if you've got the right winemaker and you've got the right plant.
Now, wine, supposedly, you're the wine expert. It makes food taste better, right?
It can,
yeah. Right. So what does the wine do? Like, for example, with like steak, what kind of wine would you drink with steak?
Wow. I don't, if you're thinking about a dry red wine to have with steak, there is a region in Tuscany, Italy, which you can't go wrong with, which is Chianti. People think of that as being in a wicker basket, that type. They still make those, and they're $10 to $14. And those wines are still good. And it's just an average wine to have with a steak.
A red wine, though?
A red wine, but you want to make sure that there's a tendency, so you need to look for this, to make sure that your wine doesn't have high alcohol. The wines from California sometimes will be over 14%, and you do not want to have that. You want to you want your wine to be more in that 12.5%. So it's not so what they would call hot, and that's high in alcohol. The finish doesn't lend itself to food when you have high alcohol.
Okay.
So the Italian wines tend to be focused on food.
Okay. How about as far as wine, is wine, over in Europe, people live to be to ripe old ages and they're drinking wine every night. And they say that's a part of the way they live and why they live so long. Is there any truth to that?
I think that, there is definitely evidence that the people that have lived long, had in moderation, had a glass of wine per day. They weren't having a bottle per day, but they're having a glass per day, and this is, I'm thinking of a little old lady that I, that was over 100. This is a story I read about 30 years ago. And she would always have a small glass of port wine, red port wine. And she just had a regiment that she stood by, and I think she would eat a pound of chocolate within a certain period of time. So that she had a very weird diet, but wine was part of her longevity.
Okay, because you're a wine expert, right? We're about out of time, but I want you to give your pitch why people who maybe don't drink wine might think about, maybe switching over and trying to consume some wine versus maybe beer or hard liquor. What would you say?
Well, I would say that there are wines out there for everybody. So there are a lot of people. When I used to taste wine in my 20s with customers, people would say, "Oh, I'm not a wine drinker." But when you're there at the tasting, when you go to a winery, there's always a chance to find. There's a wine there that you might like, whether it's a wine made from honey, it's called mead, or a wine made from Concord that you might find. You might find a velvet wine in the stores, a velvet red from Illinois Cellars, and that's made out of Concord. And so that might be something that, you like. And so, people, we do have wineries in the state. And it's always a chance to go to one of those wineries and to try their the samples and to try what they've got. So,
do you suggest what are some places they could go around here?
Oh, we are so lucky in the state that we have the Grafton area, and so the Grafton Winery. They have in the town they've got. A location, then just out of town, there's a location also, and so there's definitely wine opportunities with Aries. I know that they do not have a winery there, but they or grapes. They do not grow grapes, I believe.
No, they don't. They actually tried. they did, but then they ended up buying. It made more sense,
As we all know, that's the world's most beautiful location up there at Aries. So that is. And what a
great place to drink wine.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and they have their own wine, but it's manufactured someplace else.
Yeah. So no, with the bluffs there, it's not conducive to grapevines. But up on the plateau up there, just above Grafton, is pretty good grape ground.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for coming in. It's
Thank
been
you so
very
much, Chris.
Educational.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. Great.
All right. You take care.